Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, June 3rd, 13 people are killed and more than 200 injured as security forces disperse protesters in Sudan's capital, Khartoum. US President Donald Trump makes a state visit to Britain. And Pope Francis addresses the current situation in Europe and the need to root out corruption in politics during a press conference following his visit to Romania. In the Vatican, I'm Lydia O'Kane. In Sudan, security forces dispersed protesters in the capital, Khartoum, Monday, reportedly using deadly force. At least 13 people were killed and more than 200 injured as troops cleared a sit-in outside the military's main headquarters. Devon Watkins reports.
Civilian protesters flee in fear as Sudanese security forces fire off rounds of live ammunition. The assault on the months-old sit-in camp at the heart of Khartoum began early Monday morning. Troops set fire to demonstrators' tents and the sound of gunfire filled the air. Videos posted online showed people running through the streets and ducking for cover. By midday, security forces had taken control of nearly the entire camp, sealing off the 2-square-kilometer area. Sporadic unrest flared around the capital after news of the crackdown spread. Smoke was seen rising from various locations around Khartoum, and reports emerged of protesters blocking a bridge across the Nile River with burning tires. The camp had become the epicenter of a movement that is seeking to bring democratic reform to Sudan. Tens of thousands of protesters had set up camp outside the Sudanese military headquarters in April, following the overthrow of President Omar al-Bashir. Negotiations between protest leaders and military officials have sought to decide the makeup of a transitional government. Protesters are calling for limited military representation in a sovereign council to lead Sudan until civilian rule takes over in 3 years. An expert on Sudan told Vatican Radio that a strike last week showed the protesters' strength and vast social appeal. Raffaele Masto said the crackdown was expected to start from 1 minute to the next after the 2-day strike was widely observed throughout the country. The United States and several European nations are calling on Sudan's military to halt their violent suppression of protesters and civilians. I'm Devon Watkins.
Staying with news from Africa, and thousands of pilgrims today, Monday, converged at the Catholic Martyrs Shrine in Namugongo, near Uganda's capital city of Kampala, to celebrate Martyrs' Day, organized by Gulu Archdiocese. Peter Okojie has more details.
Organizers of the Uganda Martyrs' Day have said close to 3 million people have attended this year's Martyrs' Day at Namugongo Shrine. This year's day was animated by Gulu Archdiocese. Speaking during the homily, Archbishop John Baptist Odama challenged Ugandans to emulate the youngest of the martyrs, St. Kizito, who even at the age of 13 years chose to obey God rather than an earthly king. The theme of this year's Martyrs Day celebration is Obey God Always and Everywhere. Archbishop Odama also held 2 young girls aged 9 and 10 years who joined pilgrims in walking a distance of almost 300 kilometers. The country's vice president, Edward Sekandi, represented government at the celebrations. More than 5,000 foreign pilgrims from around the world have attended the celebrations. A growing diplomatic row between Rwanda and Uganda deprived Rwandan pilgrims who were left stranded at the border because Rwanda refused to let pilgrims cross into Uganda.
The UN refugee agency UNHCR has raised concerns over the safety of refugees and asylum seekers living in Sri Lanka 6 weeks after a series of bomb blasts that killed over 250 people. The agency says it has been working with local partners and the government in the aftermath of the 21st of April attacks on hotels and 3 Christian churches following reports of Muslim refugees being targeted by mobs. UN News spoke to Nilanthi Lorenzo Huij, Protection Associate at UNHCR.
My work is directly with foreign nationals who are seeking asylum in Sri Lanka. We have about close to 900 or 1,000 between that amount of refugees and asylum seekers internally displaced within Sri Lanka because of the certain experience that they aftermath of this incident on the 21st of April, because they felt that they were perceived as extremists, so many retaliations. There were so many people who were forced out of their homes and currently taking shelter in the mosque and in police station in Sri Lanka. So that is the ground situation right now. So the challenge was because these people were foreign nationals and they are religious and ethnic minorities coming from different countries. So after the incident, many of them were asked to leave their homes. In Sri Lanka, we have urban refugee population and usually they rent out houses and they don't live in camps. So they have like a quite very normal life, where they can rent out houses and live. So after the incident, many of them were feared to stay at home because they were scared that they will be approached and will be targeted by different groups.
U.S. President Donald Trump had lunch with Queen Elizabeth on the first day of his three-day state visit to Britain on Monday, but his trip looked set to be overshadowed by his views on Brexit, the UK's next Prime Minister, and a security row over the Huawei technology firm. Susie Hodges reports.
Trump and his wife Melania were being treated to a full display of British royal pageantry on Monday that included lunch and then in the evening a lavish state banquet with Queen Elizabeth at Buckingham Palace, tea with the heir to the throne Prince Charles, and a tour of London's Westminster Abbey. But beyond the pomp and ceremony, the unpredictable US leader had already ruffled feathers in Britain before his trip, with his remarks on the nation's turbulent domestic politics in media interviews. Trump told the Sun newspaper that he was backing the Conservative Party leadership contender Boris Johnson to be the next UK Prime Minister. More than a dozen candidates are vying to replace Theresa May, who's stepping down as Prime Minister on June the 7th, after failing to get her Brexit deal through Parliament. In a separate interview, Trump said that the Brexit Party leader, Nigel Farage, who's an arch critic of May, should be involved in the government's negotiations to leave the EU. Britain is hoping Trump's visit will cement the so-called special relationship between the two countries and lay the platform for a post-Brexit trade deal. Although Trump has spoken of his admiration for May, there's expected to be differences of opinion during their talks on Tuesday. The British Prime Minister will raise the issue of climate change with a government spokesman saying the UK was disappointed by the US decision to withdraw from the Paris Climate Change Agreement. The two allies also don't see eye to eye on the issue of cooperation with the Chinese telecoms giant Huawei. The US has blacklisted the Chinese firm for security reasons, while the UK has said it may allow Huawei to supply what it calls non-core components for its 5G network. Britain has long seen the United States as its closest ally, but protests against Trump's state visit were being planned in several UK cities, including London, Manchester, Belfast and Birmingham. I'm Susie Hodges, reporting for Vatican News.
Five bodies were spotted high on a mountain in the Indian Himalayas on Monday during an aerial search for eight climbers feared swept away in an avalanche last week. They were reported missing by colleagues on Friday after they failed to return to their base camp near Nanda Devi, India's second highest mountain. Hungarian authorities have pulled a body from the Danube River, more than 100 kilometres downriver from Budapest. It comes a week after a boat accident in the capital city, which left seven South Korean tourists dead, with 21 people still listed as missing. An Indian Air Force aircraft with 13 people on board went missing on Monday in remote northeastern mountains bordering China. The aircraft took off from Assam State Norhat town for Menchuka in Arunachal Pradesh State but lost contact with ground agencies. The Air Force had begun a search. Leaders of Germany's junior governing party, the SPD, are meeting to mull the way forward after its leader quit abruptly. It raises new questions about the future of Chancellor Angela Merkel's coalition government. Millions of Indians are desperately awaiting overdue monsoon rains as they struggle to secure drinking water amid a heatwave that is rapidly drying up reservoirs and sending temperatures soaring. Pope Francis addressed a number of issues during a press conference on the return flight from Romania. Topics included the current situation in Europe, the need to root out corruption in politics, and the importance of drawing strength from our roots. Christopher Wells tells us more.
Se l'Europa non guarda bene le sfide future, l'Europa appassirà, sarà appassita.
If Europe does not look well at the challenges ahead, Europe will wither. It will be withered, Pope Francis said in response to a question about recent trends in European politics. Asked about groups that do not desire fraternity but prefer to go it alone, the Pope said Europe needs to take up again the mysticism of its founding fathers. He acknowledged that nations have their own proper identity, which they must protect, but he continued, with the mysticism of the polyhedron. There's a globalization, he said, where all cultures are respected, but all are united. Speaking specifically about Italy, in response to a separate question, Pope Francis confessed, I don't understand Italian politics. Instead, he said,
Io prego per tutti, perché l'Italia vada avanti, perché gli italiani si uniscano.
He prays that all Italy might go forward, and that Italians might unite, that they might be loyal to their compromise. Denouncing corruption, which he said occurs everywhere, Pope Francis said, we must help politicians to be honest and not campaign with dishonest banners, calumny, defamation, scandals, and so often sowing hatred and fear. Pope Francis also spoke about the relationship of the outstretched hand when there are conflicts.
Un rapporto in genere, io direi il rapporto della mano tessa, quando ci sono dei conflitti.
In answer to a question about relationships between various religious confessions, between various ethnic groups, and in the world of politics. As he has often done in the past, Pope Francis emphasized the importance of an ecumenism of blood and of charity, referring respectively to the common witness given by martyrs from different Christian confessions and to Christians from different communities working together to help the poor, the sick, the infirm. Pope Francis also spoke about Benedict XVI, who he sees almost like a grandfather. Pope Francis said that he gains strength every time he speaks with the Pope Emeritus.
Il succo delle radici che mi vengono e mi aiutano ad andare avanti.
The sap from the roots helps me to go forward, he said. Tradition is like the root that gives you the sap to grow. You flourish. At the end of the press conference, Pope Francis said he was grateful for the rain, which allowed him to see the beautiful landscape of Romania. He concluded his remarks with a request for believers among the journalists to pray for Europe, for unity, that the Lord will give us grace. And to those who are not believers, he said, hope for goodwill, a heartfelt best wish, the desire that Europe might once again be the dream of its founding fathers. I'm Christopher Wells.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. Many thanks.